Southern California Christian Students College Conference, November 18th through 20th, 2011. Big Bear, California. Conference title is The Word of the Cross. Message 2, Termination, Triumph at the Cross. Scripture reading, Romans 6, 3-6, Galatians 2:20, Hebrews 2:14, and Luke 9:23.
So as the brothers before me reviewed, the conference title is The Word of the Cross. The Word of the Cross, which according to 1 Corinthians 1:18, to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Amen. Not just the cross, but the Word of the Cross is the power of God. The Word is power. Amen. Oh, this is a big secret in all the things spoken this weekend. We need to appreciate the power of words. The words of the cross. What is spoken this weekend needs to be re-spoken every day. Amen. Who do we speak to? We speak to ourselves. We speak to Satan. We even speak to others. Amen. And you will find that this word of the cross that is spoken this week, this weekend, will be the power of God. Amen. May you all experience this powerful word. Amen. The four conference message titles that make up the word of the cross are number one, redemption. Amen. Number two, termination. Amen. Number three, germination. And number four, reconciliation. Right? Redemption, termination, germination, and reconciliation. And along with these four words are four, you can say, supplemental words. Last night, redemption was the sacrifice on the cross. Weren't you touched last night of the sacrifice that our Lord Jesus paid? Not just on the cross, but His entire life. From the manger to the cross, His life was a sacrificial life. Hallelujah for the sacrifice through whom we have redemption. Then today, this morning, we have termination. The supplemental word for that is, oddly, triumph. Amen. Seems like an oxymoron, termination, but triumph. Yeah. Triumph on the cross. You'll actually see, hopefully, in graphic detail this morning, that when Christ died on the cross, seemingly, that was a victory for Satan. Actually, it was a triumph of Christ. Amen. Seemingly, Satan won a battle. But actually, on the cross, Christ won the war. Amen. Oh, brothers and sisters, triumph on the cross. But it doesn't end there. Germination. Germination means the producing of life. It's not just negative, it's positive. There's a big transition from what was accomplished through the cross and what the issue of the cross is. The cross germinated, not only terminated the old creation, but it germinated a new creation. And with that comes reconciliation. Tomorrow morning we will conclude with reconciliation, which brings us peace through the cross. So we have sacrifice on the cross, triumph at the cross, life by the cross, and peace through the cross. Amen. But our burden this morning and our burden this whole weekend is that really our eyes, the eyes of our heart will be enlightened. That God will give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation to see the significance of the cross. As I was driving up this morning, I found myself literally in a cloud. Visibility was probably no more than 30 feet, 40 feet. You know, you just, it's a little anxious. All you can look at is what's in front of you and hope you don't drive off the cliff. You have no view. You're just myopic. You're just looking at, well, at one point in that drive, I emerged from that cloud. And right before my eyes, before I was just focused, don't crash. But the moment I emerged from that cloud, from that fog, I saw everything clearly. Amen. Just the vista, the expanse, the mountaintops, everything was clear. Well, brothers and sisters, we may not be literally in a cloud. We're on the mountaintop. We're literally on the mountaintop. And I hope that you will have that experience of emerging from whatever can veil us. You know, whether it's religion, our view of the cross, when we hear cross, we automatically think of something religious. Or maybe it's our concept. It's only something that you do. You sign when you score a touchdown in the end zone. That's the cross. Or maybe it's our familiarity. We heard the story of the cross so many times that it becomes a veil to us. Here we go again, the cross. Whatever it is, whatever that cloud is, whatever that veil is, I pray this morning you will emerge from it. Amen. And that you will see all things clearly. What is the cross? The cross is the center of the created universe. The cross is the center of God's operation. In this universe, there's really only two creations. There's the old creation and there's the new creation. In the middle of the old creation and the new creation is the cross. It's like the Grand Canyon. On this side is one thing. On the other side is another thing. The only way that you'll get from the old creation to the new creation. You can try to find all sorts of different ways, but there's only one way from the old creation to the new creation, and that's through the cross. The cross is what divides. The cross is a huge demarcation in the universe between that which is old, that which is negative, all the negative things, Satan, sin, death, the flesh, self, oh, anything, all the negative things in the universe are on one side. But when you pass through that cross, when you see the cross, when you experience the cross, on the other side awaits God, light, life, righteousness, holiness. Every positive thing in the universe is on the other side. Amen. Brothers and sisters, let's make that transition. Amen. Let's cross over that divide. Amen. Let's pass from all those negative things to the positive things. Well, in order to do that, we need to go through this outline. In Roman numeral number 1, the crucifixion of Christ accomplished a complete redemption for us. But redemption, which we covered last night, is not the only significance of crucifixion. Crucifixion is also the termination of all the negative things. Ultimately, you heard of the sufferings of Christ. Ultimately, the cross is not an instrument of torture. Ultimately, the cross is a form of execution. The point of the cross, while it necessarily includes suffering, is not suffering itself. The point of the cross is termination. Why is that significant? Why we need redemption? Many times we quote, when we're preaching the gospel, Romans 3. Why do we need redemption? Because All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All have sinned. And because of sin, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. And so we need the shedding of the blood so that we can be forgiven our sins. Isn't that right? It's wonderful that we can be forgiven our sins. Not only so, to digress a little in 1 John, He is righteous. God is righteous. So that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us every sin. Not just some sins. Not just the worst sins. Or not just the sins that are not that bad. But every sin. All unrighteousness. Through the confession of our sins. But sins is not the only problem. According to Romans 5, what makes a sinner is not because he sinned, but because he was born of sin. In other words, we're not sinners because we sin. We sin because we're sinners. It is not something that we do. Sins is not merely something. Being a sinner is not merely something that we do. Being a sinner is something that we are. I'm Chinese. But I was born in America. I hardly speak Chinese. I mean, ask any Chinese who hears my Chinese. They'll say, that's not Chinese. I like American food. I like all sorts of foods. I like Chinese food. But anyways, I like all sorts. I don't have the Chinese tongue. But why am I Chinese? Because my parents were Chinese. I was born of them. I have a Chinese father and a Chinese mother. Ergo, I'm Chinese. Why you're a sinner? Why are you a sinner? It's because you were born of a sinner. Being a sinner is not a matter of action. Being a sinner is a matter of constitution. If you look at Romans chapter 5, it says, through the disobedience of one man, who's that man? Adam. The many were constituted sinners. Adam, when he sinned, he became a sinner through his act. How do we become sinners? By being born of Adam. We got our sinful status. Our status as a sinner because we were born into sin. So, of course, one who sins is a sinner. But that's not the cause for him being a sinner. That's just proof that he's a sinner. That's evidence that he's a sinner. When you commit a sin, of course you're a sinner because you're a sinner. And sinners, what do? They sin. Let's say there was a sinner on earth that didn't sin. Let's say one who never committed an act of sin. Well, number one, he doesn't exist. But let's say that sinner, there was someone who doesn't sin that much. He's still a sinner. Because even if he doesn't commit the act of sin, he is a sinner through and through. Genetically, just constitutionally, he is a sinner. So sin is a matter of heredity. It's a matter of parentage. It's because I'm born of the wrong stock. I hope that one of the things of emerging from the cloud, one of the unveiling is to really see who you are. It's not just, you know, we have this thought of, we're pretty good. You know, we do some bad stuff, but inherently, we're not that bad. We're not evil people. But we need to realize that there is something fundamentally wrong with us. Something that is part of our constitutional makeup. And that is sin. There's this thought. Let's just finish up. So, with sins, we need the blood. And I hope last night was very clear. The blood of Jesus accomplished redemption through the shedding of His blood. We can be forgiven of all our sins. But unfortunately, that blood doesn't take care of who we are. The blood washes us from what we've done. But the blood doesn't cleanse us from the sinful nature that we have. For that sinner, we need the cross. The sinner doesn't need washing. There's no verse in the Bible that talks about the old man needing to be washed. The old man needs to be crucified. Amen. God's way with the sinner is not through cleansing. God's way of the sinner is through termination. I just want to contrast the blood and the cross in this way. Our sins are dealt with by the blood of redemption. But we ourselves are dealt with by the cross of termination. The blood procures forgiveness of sins for what we have done. The cross procures the deliverance from what we are. The blood saves man from the punishment of sin. The cross saves man from the power of sin. The blood deals with our conduct. The cross deals with our constitution. Finally, the blood deals with our sins. The cross deals with the sinner. You've heard, hate the sin, love the sinner. And perhaps, with respect to others, that is right. That is the right attitude. But this morning, I'd like to say, as far as yourself is concerned, hate the sin. Don't love the sinner. Kill the sinner. Hate the sin. Kill the sinner. A. In ancient times, crucifixion was not used merely to cause suffering, but it was meant to cause death. Therefore, crucifixion equals death, termination. On the cross, the Lord Jesus, through the eternal Spirit, terminated every negative thing in the whole universe. At this point, we arrive at the second major burden, and I'm glad we have ample time to get into this, which is Christ's triumph, Christ's victory on the cross. His triumph, his death, was an all-inclusive death. Some of you may be new among us. Actually, I'm just kind of curious. Let's take a break. I'd like to see who, I think you did this last night, but who among us is here for the first time to a conference like this? Can you please, if you don't mind me, indulge me, would you be able to stand up just for me to see? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Okay. And of these ones standing, actually remain standing, of these ones standing, out of curiosity, anyone who's saved in the last year or two, maybe the rest of you sit down, anyone who's saved in the last year or two, I just want to see. Wow. Praise the Lord. Look at that. Okay, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. So especially for the sake of you all, you may not have heard this term, all-inclusive, all-inclusive. But the death that Christ died on the cross is an all-inclusive death. And I'm going to explain to you, and that's the next burden, that's the big burden. If you come away from this meeting, I hope you'll have an appreciation for this term, all-inclusive death on the cross. It's an all-inclusive cross. Okay, so let's take a look at these next 10 points. Can we read just all together these next 10 phrases? Okay? These are all the things that are included among the negative things in the universe. Okay, let's begin. 1. Sin. 2.
Sins.
3.
Satan, the devil, the enemy of God.
4.
The world, the cosmos, the evil system of Satan.
5.
Death.
6.
The flesh of fallen man, the living out of the old man.
7.
The self as the expression of our natural life.
8.
The
9.
The separating ordinances of the law.
10. All of these things are the negative items. I just wanted to kind of go over real quickly in a brief way all these items so you have a clear understanding of what exactly was among the negative things that was terminated on the cross. First of all, it's sin. Romans 8:3, sin. That sin is a singular sin. It's the personified sin, meaning it's the sinful nature that I was telling you about. It's not just our acts of sin, but it's the very element of sin that in Genesis 3, through the serpent deceiving the woman and eventually the man to eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, which signifies Satan himself, thereby bringing the satanic element into man. That element that came into man, that constitutes man, that is what makes us sinners. That is this sin, sin, singular sin. Then two, sins. 1 Peter 2:24, it talks about how he bore up our sins, plural, sins. These are all our acts, sins of every sinner who's on the earth. There are 7 billion plus sinners presently living on the earth. I don't know how many billions, if you include all those who have passed on before us, but all the sins, every single act, little, small, all the sins he bore on the cross. Amen. Those sins were terminated. Satan, the devil, the enemy of God. When Satan got into man, injected himself into man, he deceived man to receive him. Through the tree of knowledge of good and evil in Genesis 3. Satan thought he was victorious, right? He ruined create man as God's top creation. He spoiled him for God's use. But actually, one referenced man at that point was a little mousetrap. Mousetrap. Satan entered into man as a mousetrap. He didn't know it at the time, but by entering into man, he essentially was trapped in man. He was stuck in man. That becomes very significant in a second. The world, the cosmos, the evil system of Satan. In 1 John 5, it says the whole world lies in the evil one. So the whole world is in Satan. Well, Satan was terminated, so therefore the world was terminated. The world was judged. Death. Satan is the one who has the might of death. And through death, according to Hebrews, Christ destroyed him who has the might of death. So death was destroyed. The flesh, our flesh, which is our body that has been transmuted by sin into something that in which no good dwells. Our flesh was on the cross. Self, our pesky self, the self that gets in the way. Not just our good, bad self, even our good self. Our loving, concerned self. You check with Peter in Matthew chapter 16. Was that his bad self that said when the Lord revealed that he must go to the cross? And Peter said, oh, God be merciful on you. God be merciful on you. That this would never happen. But was that out of his bad self that that caused him to have this? No, it was his good self. It was his loving concern for Jesus. But that self got in the way to the point where Jesus called that self, he called it Satan. Get thee behind me, Satan. If you want to follow me, you need to deny yourself. Deny yourself. That self, the bad self and the good self. Old creation, represented by the old man. The separating ordinances. Ordinances are things related to the law that are both nowadays, it's even self-made ordinances. These are things, our concepts, our opinions, the things that prevent us, that put a barrier between one another. The Adamic race. All these things. Okay, I didn't think I had enough time, but I don't think this is graphic enough. I need an illustration, because an illustration, it'll stick out in your mind. Let's see. Jesus. Oh, no. Jesus. Josh, let me pick you up. Let me pick you. Jesus, I need to save for later. Brothers, can I have any jackets? Jackets. Any of the ones in the front row? Please, pass your jackets. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Every one of these 10 items that I said, that I specified, is related to man. Josh is a man, right? Sin got into him, right? Sin. So this is in him, but let's just kind of, he's related to man. Sins, of course. It's his sins, right? So sins is related to man. Sins is related to man. You're too tall. Sins is related to man. Satan, right? Satan injected himself in man. Satan is related to man. Satan, the world as we know it, is in Satan, right? So let's take the Satan. Let's take the world. It's in Satan. And Satan is in man. So the world is now in man. World is in man. Who else? What are the other things? The old, the flesh, right? The self. Death. Death. Him who has the power. Death was in man. Who else? What? Old creation. Ordinances. Hallelujah. Just enough. And the Adamic race. All the negative things in the universe is related to man. It's not just on man, but it's in man. Okay. You can say, in a sense, man is all-inclusive in a negative sense. Guess what? Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh. He put on humanity. Jump on, Josh. Okay, you can come off. Pretend Josh was still on. Jesus put on humanity. Now notice, I didn't say in. He put on humanity. He had the form. He had the likeness of flesh, of sin. But he didn't have sin itself in him. It was just on him. He had the shell of humanity. Yeah. So, for 33 and a half years, here was man, Jesus, with the shell of humanity. He bore all these things, these negative things. Well, what happened? What's the end of the first chapter of the story? What happens? You heard last night, this man, Jesus, was put on the cross. When he was terminated, when he was nailed to the cross, guess what? Man, with all the negative things, also was nailed to the cross. You know, you mentioned in Colossians 2, it talks about the ordinances, right? Handwritings and ordinances. They were nailed to the cross, right? All these things. Our old man has been crucified with Christ, right? All these verses tell us, they were not crucified by Christ by imputing. They were there in man, in Jesus. And when Jesus died on the cross, because man in a sense was all inclusive in a negative sense, his death was all inclusive. Every negative thing in the universe was terminated with Christ on the cross. Do you see it now? Do you see all these negative things? Hallelujah! I'm so glad. And you know what? Satan is one of the ones here, right? We were asking, when did he figure out that getting into man was not actually a good idea after all? When did he figure out that he was in a mousetrap? I don't know. Maybe when it struck noon and the clouds, it got dark. Satan probably had one big, uh-oh, what did I do? And so he summoned all the rulers and authorities. Come, come, stop what's happening. He enticed Jesus from coming off that cross. Jesus knew what he was doing. He was on the cross. He wasn't there. On the one hand, he was being ridiculed. On the one hand, there was humiliation. But at the same time, it wasn't just that man was doing something to Jesus. He was doing something himself. He was winning the war. He was gaining an all-inclusive victory. We think that the victory was 3 days later upon resurrection. Actually, no. His victory was not in resurrection. His victory is on the cross. On the cross is when he terminated every negative thing in the universe. Okay, and then one last thing. How do we experience this today? His death. Actually, maybe I don't need you just right. Maybe it's too much to have you stand. How about you go sit down for a little while? Okay. Can I keep these jackets though? Okay. And here, I'll put mine on the ground first, and I'll put the rest right here. Okay. So it's more or less covered. Brothers, be at peace. I'm going to do this for a specific reason. So he was on the cross. Maybe can we read a few more points and then we'll get to it, okay? So see, man is related to the entire old creation, and the entire old creation, good, let's read it all together, is related to man and centralized in man. Christ first put on man, who included the entire old creation, and then he brought man to the cross. There at the cross, this all-inclusive man was crucified. This means that all things were brought to an end on the cross. That's actually the meaning of termination. I forgot in the very beginning. What is the meaning of termination? It's to bring to an end. To terminate. Bring to end. It's not to reform. It's to bring to an end. Okay. So the Lord Jesus has won the victory on the cross. Let's not jump ahead too much, because his victory is on the cross through being crucified as the brass serpent. The brass serpent, what is this in reference to? In Numbers 21, what happened is that the children of Israel had a moment of rebellion, and they spoke against Moses. And so God sent fiery serpents into the camp. And anyone who was bitten by these serpents died. And then they repented. Moses appealed. And God instructed Moses to form a bronze serpent, a brass serpent. And he said, to lift it up on a pole. And anyone who looked upon that serpent lived. Okay. In John 3, the Lord Jesus picks up the story and he makes reference to himself. He says, as the serpent was lifted up, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so also the Son of Man, referring to him, must also be lifted up. Meaning that lifting up was going to the cross. Just as the serpent was lifted up on the pole in the wilderness, the Lord Jesus was lifted up on the cross at Golgotha. And in that lifting up, anyone who looked at him will live. Why is it the bronze serpent? Why bronze serpent? What's so significant about the bronze serpent? It's because the bronze serpent had the form of a serpent, but not the poisonous nature of the serpent. He didn't have the serpentine element that all those fiery serpents had. In the same way, the Lord Jesus had the form. He had the likeness of the flesh of sin. But at the same time, we're told that he did not know sin. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. He did not so know sin. In Hebrews, it tells us he was without sin. He was without sin. So we have the brass serpent. And as such a one, he crushed the devil's head. That's the fulfillment of that promise to the woman. The seed of the woman will crush the devil's head. And that's fulfilled in Hebrews chapter 2, where it says, through death, he destroyed him who has the might of death. That is the devil.
Amen.
After his death and before his resurrection, Christ proclaimed to Satan's followers God's victory. Do you see that? Actually, where did that transpire? That transpired in Hades. After the cross, the Lord Jesus went down. He already won the victory. So all he had to do when he went down to Hades, to the gloomy pits of Tartarus, he just had to proclaim victory. All those evil spirits, all those demons, all those things in Hades, he proclaimed his victory over their leader on the cross. And while Christ was working to accomplish redemption, the rulers and authorities came to interfere. That's what I was telling about. They all came. But at that very juncture, God stripped them off, triumphing over them, and made a display of them openly, putting them to open shame. That's Colossians 2:15. That's where we get the triumph, the term. He triumphed. He wiped out the ordinances, the handwriting and ordinances. He nailed them to the cross. And he stripped off all the rulers and authorities. And he made an open display of them, triumphing over them in it. Okay, so in our Christian life, we do not, maybe we can read Romans 3 together. In our Christian life, we do not experience the cross once for all. We experience the cross again and again. When we believe into the Lord Jesus, we became identified with him and we were terminated. Okay, so how does this become our experience? In many things in the Christian life, there's an initial phase and a progressive phase. We experience something initially, and then we experience it progressively. Salvation is like this. Access to the Father is like this. And even this matter of the cross is like this. We initially say, how do we initially experience the cross? It's when we believe. When we look away to Jesus, the Jesus who is on the cross, the bronze serpent who is lifted up on the pole. When we look at him, we live. There we experience the cross for the first time. There we experience his all-inclusive accomplishment on the cross. Well, it's not just there. It also requires a second step. B, we were baptized into his death, and we have grown together with him in the likeness of him. See, it's progressive. That growing implies that it's a process. It's a process. There's an initial, but then there's a process. And how we begin this process is through baptism. Okay, the reason why I left the coats on the floor here is that in the Bible, it talks about baptism being our initial experience of the cross of Christ. This is both in pictures and in the Old Testament and explicit in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, it was the children of Israel. Not only did they experience salvation by believing in the redemptive blood of the Lamb and therefore were delivered from the punishment, the judgment of sin while they were, in the house, But they also, in order to be freed from the tyranny of Satan, they had to get out of Egypt, cross the Red Sea. And that Red Sea is a type of baptism. So in the same way, when we, according to Mark 16:16, when we believe and are baptized, then we are saved. So to believe, if you have been saved recently but not baptized, in order to experience his all-inclusive death on the cross, you need to be baptized. Tomorrow there will be an opportunity. Always, whenever we have this conference, there's an opportunity to be baptized. I hope those who would like to experience not just the forgiveness of sins, but the deliverance from the power of sin. All of you who not only want to receive Christ's redemption, but to experience the cross's termination, I hope you would rise up and take the step of baptism. Because in the water is Christ's victory. In the water, all the negative things are buried. And when we're buried together, Romans 6 tells us, are you ignorant, brothers, that all those who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? It refers to those, the waters of baptism, as the waters of his death. Those are death waters. All the things. If you want to experience Satan fully terminated, you need to get into that water. Yeah, you ask, why water? I don't know. That's just what the Bible says. I mean, if the Bible said, mud, right? Then I'm getting dirty. You know what? If it says Jell-O, I'm getting in the Jell-O. It doesn't say mud. It doesn't say Jell-O. It says water. And because the Bible says it's water, then amen. We just believe it, and we get baptized into the death waters. Well, once we experience the baptism, guess what? Everything. Oh, no, we need man, right? Josh. Okay, you're big, so glad there's a pile of jackets here. They'll soften the blow. When first he had all these things, imagine they're all on him, right? They're all on him. I'll just take one. They're all on him. He's bowing under the weight of all the negative things in the universe. When he is baptized, when he's in the water, he is in the death of Christ. And when he comes out, trying to think of something appropriate to say, but it escapes me, so I'm just going to say, all the negative things were left in the water. If you want that experience, thank you, Josh. If you want that experience of leaving the sins, your past history, your past failure, how about your success? Temporary, that you were never able to duplicate again. How about that? Everything you leave in the death waters. And you can rise. You could be raised together with him in the likeness of his resurrection. And walk in newness of life. No more sin. Whose is this? No more sins. Whose is this?
Oh, hallelujah.
No more old man. Whose is this? No more flesh. Oh, don't we want to be free of flesh?
Amen.
No more Satan. No more death. Aren't you sick of death? No more ordinances. Yours, don't think of your roommates, but yours. No more Adam. Who's Adam? Here you go, Adam. One more. No more old creation. Who's this? Thank you, brothers. Hallelujah. We leave them. We experience that termination initially through baptism. Okay. Now, if we love the Lord, He show us the cross, enable us to receive and bear the cross. I have one more point. I didn't think I'd be able to get to it, but apparently I have more time than I thought. 15 more minutes. So now that is the spiritual fact. Remember how we began this message. We began with the message with word of the cross. Not the cross, but word of the cross. That is critical in the application. We don't need the cross to be experienced or to happen, to transpire again. That was once for all. Amen. It's a divine fact. All the negative things of the universe have been terminated. But the word of the cross, that needs development. Every time these things, they seem to, you know, those who have been saved, we have that initial experience of being saved and we feel liberated, right? But then you come down from the mountains and the next morning you wake up and that old man is there again. And you wonder, what's going on? You might get disillusioned. You might think, oh, maybe it wasn't real. Maybe it wasn't true. Well, okay. It's kind of like this. Have you heard of Japanese holdouts? Have you heard of that term? After World War II, in the Pacific Theater, I kind of am a World War II buff, but because of the Allied strategy of island hopping, there would be these islands that got skipped over. Japanese soldiers on them. And when the war ended, no one told them. So that they were still fighting a war that was over. In fact, I went and looked online. Years later, the last Japanese holdout, official confirmation, you know, the war ended in, what, 1945? The last Japanese holdout, official, there's been rumors, 1974. You have all these, I mean, with a cane and a rusty old sword. I mean, the gun is like stopped functioning a long time ago. He's, you know, must be in his 60s. He's fighting this war. Our old man is like that. It's been done. The war is over. Amen. The victory has been won. The old man has been crucified. Yet the old man keeps trying to make himself relevant again. He tries to engage you in battle. Well, the trick is, don't engage him. I mean, that would be validating that the war is still on. What we need to do is we need to speak to him. We need to tell him, the war is over. You've been defeated. You know, incidentally, one band of Japanese soldiers, they wouldn't be convinced. They had to send a Japanese admiral in to finally convince them. And even then, they sent out one party just to test to see whether or not it was really true before the other party went in. Anyways, our old man is like that. He's a little dense. He doesn't get it. The victory has been won. Amen. Satan is even denser. Satan has been defeated. Yet he'll try to accuse you. He'll try to say, well, don't engage him. Speak to him. Amen. You say, Christ has won the victory. Amen. You have been crushed on the cross. He destroyed you who had the might of death. I stand on the word of the cross. Amen. Do you see why the conference is not on the cross, but on the word of the cross? We need to have the word of the cross in us all the time. We need the word, all these verses, to combat, not combat, to effectuate Christ's defeat. We don't need to combat because the victory is won. We need to just be identified with the victor, Christ. And so not only do we not need to fight, all we need to do is speak. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, right? Redemption last night. And by the word of their testimony. Amen. The word of the cross. May we be those who speak all the time to speak the reality, the divine fact. You know, if it weren't a divine fact and you tried speaking it, it wouldn't be effective. But because it's a divine fact, because the word of God tells us, because it's an accomplished thing, then when you speak the word, it becomes effective. Okay? So, D. If we want to follow Christ, we need to deny ourselves, take up the cross, and follow him by exercising our spirit. To exercise the spirit with the element of the subjective crucifixion of our flesh. Basically, all the elements, all the victory are in the spirit. And that's why we are those who, by the spirit, put to death the practices of our body. So we are the ones who, through the spirit, we are able to experience the cross again and again. Oh, E, when we pray, read the word. Again, pray, read the word. How do we get the word of the cross into us? It's how do we receive this sword that cuts the enemy? Ephesians 6 talks about the word of God, the sword of the spirit, which spirit is the word of God. How do we receive it? By means of all prayer and petition. How to receive this word that will convince the devil, convince the old man, sin, Satan, all these negative things that they've been terminated and dealt with by. It's through pray reading the word. As we pray read the word, we are equipped with a sword that will slay the enemy. Well, that will put to effect, slay him, even cut him in pieces. The cross leads to the body. And the cross operates in the sphere of the body. So as we experience the cross, something is produced. As we ourselves are, as we die, not only do we experience our death or being one with his death, but not only are we baptized into his death, but we're also baptized into the body of Christ. And so, because of this, the body of Christ becomes the sphere. When we're in the meetings, isn't the word of the cross most powerful? Aren't you filled with faith? You know, the way to experience the cross and the word of the cross is not by trying to sense it, trying to feel it. Many of us are plagued with this temptation to, you know, oh, my old man is so strong. It feels like I don't feel regenerated, or I don't feel like I've been released. I don't feel like I've been terminated. Well, you didn't get saved initially. You didn't get the benefit of Christ's redemption initially through your feeling saved. You just believed. You exercised your spirit and the spirit of faith to believe, right? I believe. Therefore, I'm saved. Well, if that's the case with redemption, it's equally a case with termination. We don't all of a sudden switch from believing to now I have to feel, I have to sense termination. We just appropriate it by faith. We just stand by the word of God and we believe it. We amen it. Yes, sin no longer has hold of me. Sometimes we think of termination and we mistake it for extermination. Sometimes we think that sin, when we experience salvation, sin will somehow be annihilated, be eradicated from our being. It's not so. Actually, what happens is sin is dethroned. Once we serve sin as slaves, he was our master. But the work of the cross is to remove him from power. Satan is no longer Pharaoh. How? Because we've been removed from his sphere of influence. So in the same way, even though sin will try to enthrone itself, even though the self will try to enthrone itself again, it has no right. It has no being. It has no grounds for being on the throne. In fact, all the ground is on your side. You just say, self, I refuse. You know, before Christ died this all-inclusive death, you had no choice. Sin was your master. Anyone serves sin? Anyone who sins serves sin as a slave. He was your master. But after Christ's termination, he is no longer your master. Now all you need to do is say, sin or self or Satan, you fill in the blank. I no longer serve you. I have a new master. I have the one who's victorious on the cross. Okay, so let's read and stand up and let's read the focus together, okay? Christ died victoriously on the cross, terminating every negative thing in the universe, so that we may bear the cross subjectively for our daily victory over Satan, sin, the world, and the self.
Amen.
Do you see it? Okay, go ahead and sit down. Do you see it? Number one, why do we need the cross? Because the blood is adequate for our sins, but the cross termination is necessary for our being. Okay? Sinner. Sin. Number two, that death on the cross is all-inclusive. Right? I hope it was clear this morning with that pile of things. And Jesus putting on that all the negative things. Why? So that when he went to the cross, not only was he crucified, but every negative thing in the universe was also crucified along with him, thereby bestowing on him the greatest victory in the history of the universe. And finally, we, initially through baptism, can experience this as initial matter. And then through speaking the word of the cross, we can experience that cross over and over again as a daily matter. That's why Luke 9, I like Luke 9, there's a little variation. It doesn't say just, he who wants to follow me, deny himself, take up this cross. It says, he who wants to follow me, deny himself, take up his cross daily. We have a daily cross. This cross is the all-inclusive cross that upon which Christ accomplished the all-terminating death that terminated every negative thing in the universe. Amen. So how about if we stop here? Hallelujah.
Amen.
What a victory.
Amen.
What a triumph.
Amen.
Do you realize that's the triumph? That's the victory on the cross. Hallelujah.